I ask the session for the privilege to briefly address the state of our congregation. I believe in communication, and people who interact with me more closely hear me talk about a number of things, and the congregation as a whole may not do that often. I am often asked during my travels to address the state of our congregation. People will say, how are things going at Second Church? And my answer does not focus on increased numbers of members or attendance or an expanding budget, but rather on the excellent spiritual vitality I think we're enjoying and God's blessing on the ministry of His Word in our church. I want to say my concern as your pastor is not for numbers or statistics. I don't even get many of the reports. Those I get, I don't often read, I admit. They are byproducts. My concern is the spiritual health and the vitality of our congregation. And I want to praise God for the loving, joyful, unified, and fervent congregation that we have. And I want to thank all of you for your commitment to God's work here. I believe that our church health and vitality are the result of a long legacy of commitment in this church to the teaching of the Bible and to biblical worship, also from sound and godly leadership, and also the sovereign blessing of Christ through His Holy Spirit. I see more churches than you do. I hope I do anyway. And let me tell you, we should not take for granted the joy and the unity and the vitality we have. I want to urge each of you to prize these things, particularly the peace and health of our church, and to make sure that you do everything you can to continue them. I pledge myself to you as a guardian and servant of that very thing. That is part of my job, is to watch over and serve the vitality of our church. If I'm asked for an area where I think our church has need of growth and improvement, I probably would focus on our need to challenge ourselves in evangelism. It's not an easy thing. I think we really do have improvement, room for improvement in keeping an eye on unbelievers around us, inviting them to church, witnessing to them, praying for them. And I would like to see us more fervently committed to corporate and personal prayer. We often have not because we ask not. Now, one issue I would bring to your attention is the heavy burden of pastoral interventions and church discipline cases that our session has been recently handling. In my years of ministry, I don't know that I've ever had a year where we've experienced more difficult and demanding pastoral situations. In numerous cases, the pastoral staff and our ruling elders have devoted literally scores of hours to ministry situations. I sometimes hear people say, what are our elders doing? And I often can't tell you, but it almost makes me cry to hear that. And I praise God for their devotion. It's a difficult and demanding thing. It's something that the elders I know do joyfully out of love for the flock. Now, I want you to know that's been happening. Secondly, I ask you to pray for those things. Please pray for our elders as they've been handling and are handling an unusual number of difficult and demanding situations, and pray for God to bless us, that we'd be able to really minister to people, that there would be help given and received. And then I would ask you all to make a special effort in 2011 to obey the Bible, that we might have fewer of these in the year to come. But I do want you to know that's been going on in the life of our church. Please pray for our elders. Sometimes I'm asked, what is my vision for Second Presbyterian Church? I don't really like that way of talking. What I care about is Jesus' vision for His church. But I would answer it by saying, well, we want to be a biblical church. What does that mean? Well, it's worship. We want the biblical worship of God. It's teaching. We want to boldly and clearly teach the Word of God. It's community. We want to be a church where there's spiritual growth taking place in loving community, and its mission. We want to be zealously participating in the worldwide mission of the gospel. Now, those things should be true of any church. I do think as well that the Lord has placed our church with its downtown location, its historic role in our region and our denomination, that we should ask God to make our church a beacon for Reformed Christianity in the surrounding area. Ours should be a church that encourages others by example to remain true to faithful preaching and biblical worship. And people will say, well, you can't do that anymore. You can't preach the Bible. You can't have reverent, godly worship like that. And people should be able to say, well, they do it at Reverend Rhett. Why can't we do it too? And we want to encourage others in Reformed Christianity. We also want to be a resource center and a rallying point for the surrounding region. I think, for instance, some of the conferences we've done have been doing that, and our radio ministry. I would let you know that our sermons are now being broadcast daily in a number of cities around the Southeast and in a couple of places outside the Southeast. And there has been talk about an expanded radio ministry. If that happens, it really won't be something that will be required of you or even me for that matter. But if the Lord does that, that is our church being used to have a broader influence for the blessing of other churches. I think we should desire that to happen. Now let me conclude by addressing a few topics about questions that are sometimes raised. The first is our commitment to missions. You may have noticed that our missions budget this year did not see an increase in missions over the last year, despite the fact that I've been on record as saying I want our missions budget to go up in raw dollars and in percentage every year. Well, why didn't it happen? Well, the simple answer is that we ended up removing the support for our single largest missions project. We had our largest missionary in terms of support was defrocked and excommunicated, and so we did not want to immediately throw money at something just so the numbers would add up. I will say that in 2011, and I just want you to know this, the missions committee is going to be charged with developing a new partnership for the kind of a relationship we had with the Peru mission, a place where we can send short-term missions teams and have an in-depth involvement. When I first got here, we had short-term teams going to Peru, to Haiti, and to Wales. Well, the Wales group has really matured to the point where they don't need that support. The Haiti relationship is broken by the sin. We really only have Peru now, so in 2011, our missions committee is going to be recommending a whole new missions partnership. That will be exciting. When you see that contingent money for missions in the budget, it's directed at that. And we don't have a place to spend it yet, but it's my intention that we will. And I do hope that that money will, in fact, go, even in this year. If not, it's held for future years. And so I want you to know that that's what we're doing, and our commitment to missions is not slackened. I also want to praise God for honoring us. I think we should think of it this way, in sending our own people to the missions field. You think of Brooks in Kenya, Heather Waugh now going to Spain, and you will have gotten a letter from Elizabeth Johnson, who's planning to go to Peru. I've been praying for God to raise up full-time missionaries out of our church. I think he's honoring us by doing that. And so we are continuing in our commitment to missions. A second topic concerns the long-range planning committee. It seems evident that continued growth is going to require sanctuary expansion as part of long-term site planning. Now, the committee is still doing its work. I don't want to prejudice that work in any way. I think probably sometime early in the next year, we'll get a recommendation. There's a number of options being discussed and actually now are being fleshed out in some detail. You have to do some detailed planning before you can make good decisions, and that will involve financial implications as well. I think I can say safely, in fact, I can say, that there are no plans to erect a new building or to move our location. I foresee Second Presbyterian Church continuing indefinitely until the Lord comes, Lord willing, to worship at its historic location at River and Rhett in the west end of Greenville. But I think we're going to need to maximize our seating capacity in the coming years. And it is virtually certain, I think, to require renovations and some additions or changes to our current configuration. Now, some people have asked, will we be able to go back to a single worship service? Well, I would love it if that was the case. But I'm not sure our rate of growth is going to permit that. So if possible, I think everybody would like to do that, but I'm not sure it is going to be possible to do that. Some have suggested we might consider church planting as an alternative to sanctuary expansion. Well, let me say that church planting is not a remedy for an expanding congregation. Those are really different issues. I think there might be a time in the future when we would do a church plant. I will say there are no plans or discussions taking place on the session. For my own part, I came here 3.5 years ago to serve and strengthen and build up this church, and we've been focusing on that. I unashamedly admit that's what I and the session have been doing. I do think as our church grows in many ways, we'll have the resources to do a number of exciting things, and maybe church planting would be one of them, but it really is not a remedy to space needs. We still need to respond to what the Lord's doing here and what he desires for the church to be here at River and Rhett. Well, let me conclude by saying what a blessing it's been, and I mean this very sincerely, to me personally, and I know my family echoes this, to serve as your senior minister in 2010. It is a special blessing to preach God's word to such an eager congregation, and I praise the Lord for you. And I'm very grateful for the peace, unity, love, and commitment of this church. I am distressed frequently to be asked if I expect to be called away from this pulpit, and my answer is that I do not expect to be called away from this pulpit. I want you to know I do not accept approaches from other churches, and I would have to be persuaded by God before I would be willing to do so in the future. If he wants to do that, he can, but I don't expect it to happen, and it has not happened to this point. I don't know God's will, but it certainly is my desire to remain as your pastor for the duration of my ministry, and I am praying for God to give me good help and spiritual blessing to enable me to serve you for many years. You may know that my service to Christ involves a fairly wide-ranging ministry, but I desire to give you the best of my labors in the years to come, and I am deeply committed to the work of the gospel in this place. This really has become our home, and we praise God for all of you. So I wanted to say that to you. And let me lastly conclude by giving all praise and glory to God for his many blessings on our church. For from him and through him and to him are all things. Amen.